Right, three shilas from this week. A woman told me that she had recently bought a new washer and dryer, which is wonderful. But here's the catch. She bought it from a Frum appliance store, also wonderful, right? You're supposed to buy by Jews. That is a halacha that we didn't discuss last week, to do business with Jews, but that was one of the options that we ended up not choosing last week. But here's the problem. The person at the store told her that if she mails in certain forms right away, she'll get a $100 rebate on the appliance. But she's got to do it right away. So she filled out the forms right away. She mailed them in. She's awaiting her $100 rebate. And then after she sends it in, she's looking at the paperwork and she's looking at the email receipt that she got from the store. Now, she purchased this washer dryer in the middle of March. And the receipt that she got from the store says that it was purchased on February 26th or something like that. And she's wondering, why in the world did the store write the wrong date on the receipt? And then she's thinking, well, they told me I have to send in the rebate information immediately. And she realized that probably the rebate had an expiration date. You know, the rebate only lasted, was an offer that lasted up until a certain amount of time. And the store was falsifying the records to make it look like she got it, she purchased it on time, and you have a certain amount of time in between, a few weeks in between, from when you buy it till you have to get the send in the rebate. So they told her, just send it in immediately, because obviously that time was running out. So now her shaila is, it's already being processed, she's going to receive a rebate in the mail, is she allowed to keep that rebate? Good? Understand? Yeah? That's shaila number one. Shaila number two, a middle-aged woman had surgery recently, and she's in terrible, terrible pain from the surgery. Now, it happens to be that she has an allergy to most anti-inflammatory painkillers. So she cannot take Advil, she cannot take Aleve, she cannot take ibuprofen, she can't take most of the only thing she's allowed to take is Tylenol. I'm also only allowed to take Tylenol, so I feel her pain a little bit, but I didn't just have surgery, right? So she's only allowed to take Tylenol. So it's not doing the trick. She is in excruciating pain. So a friend of her tells her, you know, there is something else you can do for the pain. And so here's this middle-aged, from Bubby. And she says, really? So she recommends that if you smoke marijuana, it will be very good for your pain. So she starts doing it, and taka, it works. It does the trick. And it's really getting her through her days, because she's really in a lot of pain. And she's looking at Pesach coming up in a couple of weeks, and she's getting very nervous. So she asked the Shaila, is she allowed to smoke pot on Pesach? But that was her Shaila. Meaning, she doesn't smoke pot on Shabbos, because you're not allowed to smoke on Shabbos. Pesach is 2 days of Yantiv. So A, because of Hilchas Pesach, and B, because of Hilchas Yantiv in general, is she allowed to smoke pot on Pesach? Okay, so that's Shaila number two. Shaila number three, this is just a pretty standard run-of-the-mill Shaila, but it comes up all the time. Talmud of mine got married to an Ashkenazi guy, to a Sephardic girl, to a girl from a Sephardic family, which is a wonderful new thing that we're seeing in the past few decades. It didn't used to exist so much in Klal Yisrael, that there was marriage between Ashkenazim and Sephardim, because everyone sort of kept in their own places in the globe. But when Gullus America really got going in a strong way, so we find that more and more, that Ashkenazim, it's good for those wonderful Ashkenazi genetic diseases also. It's good to help diversify the gene pool a little bit. So it's a good thing on many, many levels for Sephardim and Ashkenazim to get married, but it creates certain complications. So one of the complications that it creates is, what do you do when you go to the in-laws for Pesach? So he's going to the in-laws and everything is kidneys. So what does he do? What does his wife do? That was Shaila number three. Okay, so we have the washer dryer with the $100 rebate, we have smoking pot on Pesach, and we have going to the Sephardic in-laws. So it's two questions. Is there any issue in terms of marijuana and Pesach? We'll have to see what. And second issue is are you allowed to smoke on Yantif? Forget about Chol HaMoed, smoking on Yantif. To, for recreational marijuana. But if it's medically necessary, he doesn't discuss that. He was asked by a teenager, and already you find in Shuvas Radvaz, Radvaz describes what cannabis what it does, that it's misameach, and it's I don't think he means like a deep life fulfilling simcha. I think it means more of an escape kind of simcha, but that it does these things. Okay, so which one do we want to talk about? Two, yeah. Well, what was your hope going to be? Okay, so we'll see if we have time for both. But we'll start with two, I guess. Right? Is that the vote? That's the vote? Okay, good. Okay, so what do we have to talk about? So really three issues we have to talk about. First of all, is there any chashash chametz? Second of all, is there any chashash kidneys? And third of all, what about smoking on yantiv in general? So is there any chashash chametz with cannabis? Doesn't seem so, right? But here's the thing. Whenever you're getting any sort of processed item, even if the processing is as simple as crushing it up and having it in a small crushed up leaves or whatever, even if you're getting it in that form, you always have to be concerned about additives and what's being added to it in order to either, as a filler, in order to rip you off, believe it or not, when you buy illegal drugs, you don't always know exactly what you're getting when you're buying illegal drugs. So, the rabbi said to the woman, this woman didn't ask me the shayla, she asked a rabbi friend of mine the shayla. So he said to the woman, "Do you know that you're getting a pure product?" And she said, "I have to ask my hairdresser." And he said, "What's your hairdresser have to do with it?" She's the dealer, the hairdresser. So everyone is. They just came out today that Israel per capita is the highest percentage of pot smokers in the world. I think so someone tweeted, "I'm Israel high." So she doesn't know exactly what she is. So you would want to make sure that you're getting a pure product, right? That for sure. But once you can ascertain that you're getting a pure product, so there's no chametz additives or anything like that, or any filler or anything like that, so the chametz issue is not an issue.
Would there be a question of, since it's illegal, doing it?
Oh, so that's also a question. If it's an issue of dina de malchusa, so to what extent are you bound by dina de malchusa? Right, so if you need it for medicinal benefits, it's very likely that you're allowed to go against Dina de Malchusa. Right. Her doctor did agree that it's the right thing to do, even though I don't know, in New York, can they prescribe? Yeah? Yeah, they prescribe Malibu? I don't know why she gets it. Maybe it's just easier for her to get it at her hairdresser. I don't know. Yeah, so if you get it from a legal source, that would be the better etzah as far as Dina de Malchusa is concerned, and as far as any chashash chametz, just knowing that you're getting a pure product, right? As far as that's concerned, I have to confess, I know nothing about this. Meaning, I don't know even what it looks like when you get it from the hairdresser versus what you get. I do know that you can get it in lollipops and in brownies and in all these other sorts of fun ways. But she's been smoking it, right? And for some reason, that's the way she imbibes it, and I don't know why that's necessary. Like, why can't she just, obviously brownie's not going to work, but why can't she just have it as some other product? I mean, if her shayla is ilchus yantif shayla, so she allowed to smoke on yantif for it, so I don't know why she has to smoke, but maybe there's a reason. I don't know. I don't know enough about the topic, why it has to be dafka be smoked and not consumed in any other way. Does anyone know? I won't tell anyone that you're the one that raised your hand. No? No?
I think they have probably some brownies.
They have kosher basic brownies?
Yeah.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. Okay. So.
It's different.
It feels different.
No. Honestly, not really, but it's expensive.
No, well, that may make a difference. Let's see. What about kidneys? So, first of all, if you're going to say if it is or isn't kidneys, you first have to know what the definition of kidneys is, what we do define as kidneys. There is a video online of Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein bringing marijuana to Rav Chaim Kanievsky to ask him shailas about it, and supposedly Rav Chaim said, according to the report in Times of Israel, Rav Chaim said that it's kidneys, that he thought that it is kidneys, but he said if it's needed for medicine, so then kidneys is mutter when you need it for medicine, right? Even for Ashkenazim. So why would you call it kidneys? What it looked like, I saw in the video, it was a bunch of leaves, very fragrant leaves. Rav Chaim said to Rav Zilberstein, say a bracha. So Rav Zilberstein said a bracha of Bari Minei B'Samim or Bari Yisei B'Samim, I'm not sure. And then they smelled it, they both smelled it. Okay, that was the bracha. But that's in the video. I'm not making it up. I don't know why Rav Chaim didn't want to say the bracha and why he wanted Rav Yitzchak to say the bracha and he was just going to say amen. I'm not sure what his cheshbin was. Maybe he thought it was a suffix bracha and he didn't want to take the risk. So he wanted, I don't know exactly what the cheshbin was. But he held his kid. But why on earth would it be kidneys? What is kidneys? So there are three basic shitos as to what the minhag of kidneys is based on. So just to quickly run through it. The smak in Simur Reish Chaf Beis says that it's used in the same way. Very often beans are used in the same way that flour would be used. And he talks about that in a number of different contexts, meaning he says really it's three different contexts that he talks about it. But let's say like you would make an oatmeal with oats, so you can make a stew with beans that looks similar to, you know, or you could take wheat and grind it into flour and then make baked products out of it, so you can take beans and also grind them into flour, or corn and make cornstarch and things like that, and then bake items with it. So since it's used in a way that's similar to the way that grain is used, you might get confused and think that if you can use kidneys, you can use grain also. The Hagos Maimonios in Uchus Chamitza Matzah Parakei Alacha Simon Os Aleph says that no, there's more direct chamitzdika concern. That a lot of times when they would collect the kidneys from the fields, they would use the same bags that they collected grain in. And you know how tiny a kernel of wheat is? So it could be that when they emptied the bag from the wheat, there were still a few kernels of wheat in the bag. So there might actually be a mashu chametz that's mixed in with your kidneys. And then the third possibility, the Bir Halacha quotes from Ravina Manoach, is that if you have a mutant grain, if grains grow in a funny way, the mutant grain might look like a bean. It might look like a kidneys. So therefore, we're machmir and kidneys because you might come to confuse it on that level with grain. Okay, so generally speaking, the majority of Sephardic communities have not accepted this minhag of kidneys. I'm told that some Moroccans do accept the minhag of kidneys to some level or another. Anyone know about that? Is that true? Yeah, so, but the majority of Sephardic communities, the Maran Beit Yosef is very clear that it's an unnecessary churma. The Tur rejects it as an unnecessary churma. In Tshuvas HaRash, in Klal Yotes, Rabbi Balzin points out in his Sefer on Pesach, that Tshuvas HaRash, Klal Yotes, Os Chaval, the Tshuvas HaRash talks about bread made from beans, and he says, you can't use that for matzah. And he never even brings up the possibility that, by the way, you can't eat it on Pesach at all because it's kidneys. Implication of the Tshuvas HaRash is that there's no kidneys problem. Like, it's too big of an omission. Why would he not mention that? And then, especially his son, the Tur, says, I don't hold to this whole chumrah of kidneys. Nevertheless, the Ramah and the Maharil accept it as a binding minhag. The Maharil says we cannot take this lightly. The Ramah paskins it la'alacha. Rabbi Yaakov Emden was not happy about this, but Rabbi Yaakov Emden was not happy about a lot of things. Meaning, there were a lot of practices in Ashkenazic Jewry that Rabbi Yaakov Emden had a different opinion on, and we don't always pass on like Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden was not happy about the minhag of kidneys, and he said it's a chumrah maybe l'day kula. Why is it a chumrah maybe l'day kula? Because there's going to be nothing to eat except for matzah. So we're going to need to produce a lot more matzah. And if you have the pressure to produce a lot more matzah, you're likely not to do it as well, and you have a chashash chimut. Maybe, but that the minhag seems to be very, very widely accepted among Ashkenazim. So the real question is, what defines the category? Like, what makes something kidneys? Is it only beans? So Rav Moshe, for example, has a famous shuvah about peanuts, right? And he says that peanuts are not kidneys. Because it wasn't consumed in Europe at the time that the minhag developed, and whatever wasn't part of the minhag is not kidneys. Now Rav Moshe would probably agree that if something becomes the minhag, even though it wasn't at a time, but at the time that these minhagim started, but it becomes the minhag, then it becomes kidneys, because sweet corn was also not available in Europe at the time that the minhag started, and nevertheless we treat corn as kidneys, and that Rav Moshe would agree we treat corn as kidneys. That's why we don't have You know, the good cereals that are made with whatever corn syrup and corn starch and all these things, right? So we do treat it as kidneys. Rav Asher Weiss totally disagrees with Moshe. He says it has nothing to do with what was and what was not eaten. He says you just have to look at anything that might be confused with grains and is used in a similar fashion as grain is kidneys, and it's kol lefi hamakom lefi hazman, and it has nothing to do with what was available in the times of the Rishonim. It used to be that that he said, you know, Rav Asher in the shiur he just gave this past Sunday, said it used to be that everybody would use cottonseed oil. Now you can't use cottonseed oil anymore because it's kidneys. He said, in that context, he quoted Rav Shlomo Zalman. He said, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, I think in this context, that it's a kula she'ein rov hatzibur yichol lamud ba. He said that sometimes, it used to be in previous generations, we had such a thing called the chumra, she'ein rov hatzibur yichol lamud ba. But in our culture, where we're so excited about chumras and we're eager to keep every chumra, so sometimes you have a kula she'ein rov hatzibur yichol lamud ba. People are just not happy to keep a kula. They're not going to accept the kula. They don't want to accept any kulas. I guess it depends what kind of community you come from. But there's a major discussion why potatoes aren't kidneys. There are some that hold it is, but obviously the overwhelming minhag is that potatoes are not kidneys, right? Everything we have is made with potatoes, right? You sit down at your Pesach hotel or whatever, and you have your pancakes and your everything that they have. It's like, it's amazing how many things they could do with a potato, right? Your pancakes are potatoes essentially, right? It's amazing what they could do with a potato. But the Prima Gadim says potatoes aren't kidneys because they're too big, so nobody will confuse them with the grain. And there's no tarovas dagan in potatoes. Corn, Rav Asher Weiss pointed out, was also not available in Europe 500 years ago. Rav Asher said Rav Moshe must have not known that. He must have not known that corn wasn't available 500 years ago. So this gets into the issue when it comes to quinoa. Because quinoa fits all of the concerns, right? It's used exactly like a grain is used. And the bags that they collect quinoa in many places are the exact bags, and that's why there was a whole to-do a couple of years ago about knowing which brand of quinoa is actually pure and has no chashash of grains in them. And people have actually found, someone sent me a picture, he opened up a bag of quinoa, and he actually found a piece of grain, a piece of wheat in his quinoa. Like, mamish happens. Like, these things are a legitimate concern. So that's why you have a machlok saposkim. So if you're of the mind that we can't add anything to the minhag is what the minhag is, and if it wasn't available in Europe 500 years ago, then it's not the minhag, so then it's mutter. But if you're of the mind that, well, you go basar tam, and you look at, would this have been something that they would have been knowing? For sure it would have been, right? Meaning, the way quinoa is used, there's no doubt that they would have been knowing that way, even if just to stop people from having quinoa sushi on Pesach, which is it's disgusting. It's not the way sushi was meant to be. So kidneys for ill people, for people who are sick, though, is mutter, Mishra Berurah points out, and that's why most poskim say if you have someone who's celiac, who cannot consume grain, if it's severe enough, he may not even be able to consume kazayis of matzah. In Shas Al Chak, it could be that that people with celiac have lots of trouble finding what to eat. It could be that that we could be matir kidneys for such people. The Chayei Adam writes in Kuf Chav Zayin that mi she'ein lo malechol b'dochach gadol yachol levashel kidneys. That if a person doesn't have what to eat, so in the Shas Al Chak. So Rav Asher Weiss understood it doesn't mean he has nothing to eat. It means that it's going to be very hard for him to find food that is, cooked food other than just fruits and vegetables and matzah. So you want him to have other options, a more diversified diet than that. So he's allowed to have he's allowed to have kidneys. So the Mishnah Berurah says chol she'ein bo sakana. So not that kidneys is a medicine; it doesn't heal you, but it makes the life of a chol she'ein bo sakana a little more comfortable. So do we observe the minhag of kidneys? Absolutely, 100%. You know, there's always someone causing a stir, trying to say we shouldn't observe this minhag anymore, Ashkenazim shouldn't keep it anymore, it's silly, or whatever. Al titosh Torah simecha. We have a minhag, this is a binding minhag, Ashkenazim observe this minhag. Rav Asher Weiss said in the shir that people come over to him sometimes and say, Kvod HaRav, I just want you to tell me what the halacha is. Don't get me mixed up in minhagim and in what the right thing to do and whatever. Just tell me the halacha. He says, I'm sorry, I don't teach the halacha. I teach what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I teach Yiddishkeit. And Yiddishkeit includes minhagim, and it includes a sense of Mesorah, and it includes a sense of Ratzon Hashem. That's all part of Yiddishkeit. That's my job. My mission on earth is to teach Yiddishkeit, not to teach you what the strict halacha would be in your alternate universe where there's no such thing as any sense of what Yiddishkeit is about. So based on the kidneys element of it, it would seem that if a person needs it for medication, that it would be mutter to even consume, to even to eat, right? Smoking kidneys is probably not consuming anyway, but even if they wanted to eat like a marijuana brownie or something like that, a pot brownie, that they would be provided, obviously, that it doesn't have any flour in it, any real chametz in it. So it would seem that that would be mutter for someone who's suffering and needs it for their pain, meaning for medicinal purposes. What about smoking it on Yantif? Let's say for some reason she can't have lollipops and brownies. I don't know why. She can only smoke it. And again, if someone could explain that to me, I'd be interested in hearing. But she didn't ask me the shaila, so it wasn't my job to follow up with her about like why she can't find an alternative solution. Let's say she can't. Would she be allowed to smoke it on Yantif? So are you allowed to smoke on Yantif in general? So there was a Minog Yisrael for many, many years that people smoked on Yantif. That in the frumest places, people smoked on Yantif. Still, even Ad Hayom, in many Hasidic circles, they smoke on Yantif. So is that mutter? So really, every time you take a puff out of a cigarette or anything, it is a violation of a Malacha Daraisa. What Malacha Daraisa is that? Havara. Right? It's a violation of Mavir Midaraisa. Oh, so you'll tell me, no, Mavir's mutter on Yantif. Mavir's only asar on Shabbos, right? So it's true. Being molded in Eish is an Isser Drabbanan on Yantif, but then violating Mavir in the course of food preparation is mutter on Yantif, because it's Ochel Nefesh. And anything that's Ochel Nefesh is mutter. Ach asher yeachel l'chol nefesh hu levado yeaseh lechem. That which is Ochel Nefesh you're allowed to do on Yantif. But when it comes to and then the Gemara tells us we have a principle that mitoch shehutra l'tzorach ochel nefesh utanami shelo l'tzorach ochel nefesh, that if a malacha is permitted for the sake of ochel nefesh, you're allowed to do that same malacha even for a non ochel nefesh purpose. You can do that same malacha. So it would seem that okay, we're in the clear. So if I'm allowed to do havara to cook my food, I should be allowed to do havara to smoke a cigarette. But here's the problem. There's another klal, that this idea of mitok shehutra l'tzorach ochel nefesh, shehutra mishlo l'tzorach ochel nefesh, is only if it's shavah l'kol nefesh, if it's something that is universally appreciated, universally enjoyed. And you have to figure out, is smoking something that is universally appreciated, universally enjoyed? So what were the potential heterim for smoking? So some argued that it was shavah l'kol nefesh. In fact, the Ber Hetiv writes, everybody smokes. Meaning, you have to realize at a certain point in history, it could be that was true. And I remember, you know, even today, you go to Israel and you walk around New York, and it's very different. Everyone here is vaping like maniacs, but over there, they're still smoking cigarettes, right? There are lots of people smoking. So it could be that the reality was that it was shavah l'kol nefesh in the times of the Ber Hetiv. Korban Nisan al-Magen Avraham say that most people don't enjoy it already, and therefore maybe not shavah l'kol nefesh. And l'charu, it depends on the sociological circumstance that you find yourself in. It's hard to say nowadays, I would say impossible to say, that it's shavah l'kol nefesh. That most people, if they would take a cigarette, a real cigarette, and try to, you know, take a puff, would just choke and vomit. It's hard to say that it's shavah l'kol nefesh. A second argument that was made to be matir was that it's not shavah l'kol nefesh in the conventional sense that most people actually enjoy it, but it's l'bryus haguf, that anything that's for a health benefit is by definition shavah l'kol nefesh, because everyone would want to do something to treat themselves to a health benefit. And Tosos writes in Masech Shabbos Tav Lamed Tes that there's a distinction between that which is just enjoyable and that which is healthy. The Tosos is in a different context. He's talking about heating up water for a bath versus heating up water for a schwitz, for a steam. So he says, if you're heating up water for a bath, that's not shavah l'kol nefesh. Who bathes, right? You know, people bathe once a month if they're really, OCD about their cleanliness. So once a month, maybe they'll bathe. Again, we're talking about a different time, a different place, a different culture. But for to enjoy steam, that's something that's lubrius haguf. That's something that's for health benefits. Oh, for health benefits, it's automatically shavu l'kol nefesh. Even if most people don't do it too frequently, but it's an automatic shavu l'kol nefesh. It's a get out of jail free card. So the Tshuvas Ksav Sofer in Or Chaim Sim Samach Vav, he writes that everybody needs to maintain good health, and therefore the method that you choose to maintain your good health is irrelevant. Meaning, it's automatically a shavu l'kol nefesh. That's the assumption of how to read that Tosos. So it comes along the Pnei Yeshua Masechet Shabbos over there in the Vam Tes, and Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Mark Tzia Sim Tav Kuf Yud Aleph, and they say smoking is permissible on Yontif because it is so very healthy. Now these are like one of these historical believe it or not. Like they really, if you ever saw someone who's addicted to nicotine and who hasn't had a cigarette in a while, and then you take their first puff of that cigarette, it looks like it's healthy, right? Because they looked like a mess beforehand, and they take that puff and it's like, oh, all of a sudden it calms their nerves. You know, they seem so much better, right? So you could imagine that before any medical research is done, and before you realize that you're literally taking 5 minutes off of your life with every cigarette you smoke, and you're, the numbers of types of cancer that you're causing yourself, and everything else, right? Before you did all that research, before we ever were able to do that, it could be people thought that it was healthy. So based on that, Rabbi Yaakov Emden and the Pnei Yeshua, smoking is healthy, therefore it's permissible, and it's not exactly like taking a medicine, because it's more like preventative medicine. It clears your sinuses and your lungs. That's what they write, that it clears your lungs. Whatever they thought it was, obviously, if that's what you're basing your heter on, bismanazah, I shouldn't say obviously, because there are some Hasidic poskim and some that would suggest that, look, Rav Shnumrach writes this way in the Tshuva. He says that it is healthy in the sense that it calms the person down, it clears his head. It just has some negative side effects also, like it kills you. But it has health benefits also, and therefore it's still refuah. Very, very difficult to accept any such argument. I would say beyond difficult, trying to be respectful here, I would say beyond difficult to accept such an argument. Pashtus is, if you're smoking a cigarette on Yontif, every puff is an Issa Daraisa. And it's very difficult to make an argument otherwise. Now, if you're of the mindset that once something is determined to be Shavu L'Kol Nefesh, it remains that way forever, so then you understand why people would smoke. They would say, okay, it was once considered Shavu L'Kol Nefesh, therefore it remains that way forever. What you're definitely not allowed to do is have a cigarette in the shower, right? Because if you hold that whatever was Shavu L'Kol Nefesh remains that way forever, and whatever is not Shavu L'Kol Nefesh does not remain that way, so then the person would hold that showering is definitely Asr on Yantif, because that's not Shavu L'Kol Nefesh, because in the times of the Rishonim it wasn't Shavu L'Kol Nefesh, in the times of the Mishnayos it wasn't Shavu L'Kol Nefesh. So at least one has to be consistent about that. Berhetiv, even Rav Shnumrach even quotes from Berhetiv that it's needed so badly it's almost like food, and therefore it becomes like Ochel Nefesh Mamish. That's very difficult to understand also. It would seem that's not a valid heter. But if it's actually for refuah, meaning let's say a doctor prescribes that a patient is suffering from pain and it's something that's actually for refuah, I mean, it's not that we don't pass like the Tosos, it's just that the application to smoking a cigarette is absurd. But if it's actually for refuah, l'chora would be mutter. But l'chora would be mutter if that's what's needed for refuah. So we would need to find out why she feels like she needs to smoke and she can't have any other product. Now, it could be that, yeah?
Would there be a difference between cigarette and weed that one is considered, no one likes, the club doesn't like smoking cigarettes necessarily, right? But pot is more shovel of coconut.
So this is a cultural thing. You see, when I was growing up, it was the opposite. There was way more cigarette smoking than there was pot smoking. Now it seems that it's when you speak to someone your age and you say the word smoking, the first thing that comes to mind is smoking pot. It's like a total culture change. So I don't know. So again, just to summarize the shayla, then we'll try to get to the next one for a few minutes at least. Chametz is not an issue because it's not a grain as long as you make sure you have it from pure sources. Kidneys, hard to understand why in the world it would be by anybody's definition of kidneys. Why would marijuana be kidneys? Is it used in the same way? You know, even when we say that it's used in brownies, but it's not used as a grain in brownies. Where do they take its oils and they put it into the brownies? Those brownies are made with flour, right? Am I wrong about this? Someone tell me if I'm wrong. No, right? Aren't they just taking the oils from the? So it's not at all used in the same way that a grain is used. So I'm not really sure. And the Star K in their booklet, they say that it's not kidneys, but I guess Reb Chaim thought it is for some reason.
I know you can buy cannabis seeds at Trader Joe's with extra, I think. Yeah,
so because it's a seed, so it's similar to other types of seeds.
It's a small, tiny seed. It looks like it looks like a weed.
You could buy a Trader Joe's.
It's got extra California. I think it's Star K. I think it's like you can buy my
grandpa,
but I had no idea what it was.
I'll try it for the challenge, right? Yeah, it's so interesting.
Trader Joe's.
In New York?
California.
Oh, in California.
Here also, it's a good Trader Joe's.
No, it's probably illegal here, no?
California's illegal.
In California, it's legal.
If it goes back for Pesach, it breaks it like
it's a bag. Wow, so interesting. I didn't know.
If there was all right. A store that was shot, it would be Trader
Joe's. Yeah, okay. Now, And as far as smoking, again, if it's for a fool, it would be mutter. If it's not necessary for a fool, then it would lechora be a problem. Going to the other shayla. Any more questions? Okay, going to the other shayla very quickly. The rebate. What would you say? What would you say now? Is she allowed to keep the money?
I don't understand the question.
Where does the rebate come from? Is it from the government? Or?
No. The rebate is from the company that produces, that makes the appliance. So let's say it's Frigidaire. I don't know why that company came to mind, right? Let's say they make the appliance, right? So they send you a $100 rebate. You know, it was an offer that lasted X amount of time, but she had unknowingly falsified documents in order to receive this rebate because the company sent her a receipt that was with a false date on it. So is she allowed to keep that money?
She doesn't know exactly for sure that the rebate expired, then maybe she bought it.
Maybe they just made a mistake. So I told her, call the store, right? So she said, I'm not going to do that. And she says she has no doubt. She's not really Mesubuk. She's sure that that's what they did. I told this to Rav Shechter, and he said, come on, what a chilul Hashem. Why do people have to do business like this? And then he started going on about vaccinations. He's like, chilul Hashem, the Jewish people used to be trusted to be the most advanced and ethical, and now we're unethical, and we're a bunch of cavemen, that we don't accept anything the doctors say, and we're not vaccinating our children. Ridiculous chilul Hashem all over the place in the way we conduct our business. He was just like, I don't know how it turned into vaccinations, but I think it's just from the chilul Hashem element. He just got so frustrated that that's how people would do their business. So what's the issue over here? What's the issue? What is this? It's a violation of Gnevis Das, Gezel, you're actually taking money, Ta'us Akum, what exactly is it? So I said to her that to cash the check is l'chora an act of Gneva, right? Because a check is not money, a check is a promise to pay you money, right? So they haven't given you money yet. So if you're going to take the check and cash it, so she said she's not sure that they're going to send her a check. They might send her a Visa gift card. I don't know why she thought that, but I guess some rebates work that way. Yeah. So they might send her a Visa gift card. Visa gift card is already paid for, meaning the company's not losing money when you use the Visa gift card. Right? It's already paid for. So does that make a difference if she gets it in the form of a check or she gets it in the form of a Visa gift card? So let's chaz over quickly. Is stealing from a guy usher? Yes, stealing from a guy is absolutely aser. Is it an Isra Daraisa or an Isra Darabon? We pask in Shulchan Aruch? Aser Daraisa. The Rambam paskin is Aser Daraisa. The Smag writes in Los Asei Kufnun Beis, it's worse than stealing from a Jew because it also involves a higher level of Chil Hashem. Aside from being an Isra Daraisa, it also involves a Chil Hashem. They quote from the Sefer Hasidim that if Jews get in the habit of taking advantage of Goyim in business, then Goyim will pay us back in kind and manyfold. So we're going to end up costing the Jewish community and you end up doing a terrible avla to your own community. The Rambam passage that I mentioned in Hilchas Kneva, Perek Aleph, Ve'echar HaGonev Mamon Yisrael, O HaGonev Mamon Akum, is in violation of this losase. In Hilchas Gzela, Perek Aleph, Alach Aleph, Kala Gozel Eschavero Shavapruta, over Belosase Shenemer Lo Sigzol, and then in Alach HaBeis says, Va'asu Ligzol Kolshu Din Torah Afilu Akum. Even of Kavim, mi de o Raisa. Now, Yam Shel Shlomo in Baba Kama, he says it's only an Isra Sei. It's the Raisa, but an Isra Sei, not an Isra Lav. There is a Rashi in Sanhedrin and a Rashi in Masechah Sukkah There's Rashi in Sanhedrin that makes it sound like it's Rabbanan. There's Rashi in Masech Sugah that makes it sound like it's Mutter. But all of the Achronim have a very difficult time with that, and Rishonim have a very difficult time with the Rashi. What does Rashi mean? Because he contradicts himself all over Shas. Some places it sounds like it's Daraisa, some places it sounds like it's Rabban, some places it sounds like it's Mutter. Pashas says that it's Aser. Rashi and Chumash points out that it's Aser. Right? Well, based on what? V'chishevim konehu. That we just discussed in Shir for the guys mentioned. Right? That if a guy owns an Eved Ivri, so you have a mitzvah to try to get that Eved Ivri back. How? V'chishevim konehu. Make a cheshbon, figure out how much value there is, and pay him a fair market value. Well, why do I have to pay a fair market value? Can I just steal the Eved back? Can I just kidnap him? No! Because you're not allowed to steal from a guy. It's an issur d'oraisa to steal from a guy. So that's something that's very important to realize. As I've mentioned, Rav Shechter always tells us, you have to emphasize that point. People don't realize it. They think that you can do whatever you want when you're dealing with a guy. And that's why there are so many from Jews in jail. Because they don't realize that you're not allowed to steal from a guy. Again, as I've mentioned in the past, I'm not even the Afra Tachas Raglov, but I don't see it that way, that's the reason why people are in jail, because they think that what they were doing was really a great mitzvah, and it turned out that they weren't. I think people just have a yetzer hara for money, and it's very difficult, it's very challenging yetzer hara, but it's hard for me to believe that it's because they thought that it was really something that was mutter, that they thought that they were doing something proper. Hard for me to believe that, but anyway, we need to emphasize it. Whatever the reason that it is, that there's a zilzal in this isser, we need to emphasize it. When the Isser applies even to Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Tosfos writes in Mabakam Daf Lamed Ches, the Hagos Maimonios and the Smag both write that even if the guy has caused you suffering, you're not allowed to steal from the guy. You can't even help a ganav out. Someone who's gonev mina akum, you can't help out. Shulchan Aruch and Shinun Beis, if Aleph says not to buy from a ganav or a gazlan. If someone is a ganav or a gazlan, don't support their business. In that sense, you're violating Lifnei Iver, probably Lifnei Iver Daraisa. So through this act of buying this appliance, you're helping the company steal $100. You're helping the store steal $100 from the company. That's probably Lifnei Iver Daraisa. Is there a chi of hashava, though, once it's already done? Okay, I stole from a guy. Bad boy. Okay. Do I have to return it now? That's not as clear. The Nesivus in Shin Mem Chesif Aleph explains the Ramah in Eben Ezer. The Ramah in Eben Ezer writes that if you have Gezalakum and then you're Mekadish Nisha with the Gezalakum. So the Ramah writes, Mekudeshes. Whoa. If it's not mine, I got to return it. How could it be Mekudeshes? So the Nesivus says, because there's no Chiyuv Hashava. The Heshifas Agzela is only for another Jew. Veshvas Agzela doesn't apply to a non-Jew because in general, all mitzvahs in the Torah are for Jews, unless we know that it's an exception. But the Nesivus explains, you're still chayiv to return it, but not because it belongs to the guy, but because of Kiddush Hashem. Chayiv Mishum Kiddush Hashem, Mishum Chilul Hashem, and Pischei Choshen, Rav Bloy writes in Perek Dalet of Yotes, that all the majority of poskim assume that way, that you have to return it, but not because of Veshvas Agzela, that it's in Dini Mamanus, it's theirs, but you have to return it because of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. So if you're Mekadish Nisha with it, it's yours, it's Mekadashes, but you still have to return it. If there's no opportunity for Kiddush Hashem, though, maybe you don't have to return it. Meaning, imagine this, she gets the gift card. So now what is she going to do with it? She stole it, unwittingly stole it, or the appliance store, let's say, stole it, right? So now what are you going to do? She's going to call the company and say what? I bought this appliance from a store. They falsified the receipt, and therefore I want to return the gift card. So what's the company going to say? What's the first question going to be? Which store? Where'd you buy it? Oh, it's a store in name you're from community, right? It's whatever. Yankel's Heimische Appliances in Borough Park, Williamsburg, Lakewood, Muncie, Five Towns, Teaneck, whatever, right? So the returning it might create a greater Chilul Hashem than a Kiddush Hashem. So that becomes very, very tricky. Now, what about Tatwus Akum? What if they just made a mistake? Can this be viewed as a... So in this case, I don't think it is a Tatwus Akum. It's a Gnevus Akum. But it's important to realize that Tatwus Akum is, if the Ramah writes explicitly in Shin Mem Ches and Chosh Mishpat, that if you caused the Tatwus, that's Asr. It's Asr Lahat'oso. It's only if they made the mistake that you can then keep it. And even then, the Rambam Shita is that you have to actually tell the person that I'm relying on your cheshbon. The Rambam writes, Tolus Akum, if the guy was Ta'a Me'atzmo, it's Mutter, Avala Ta'oso is Aser. And the Rambam writes in the 11th paragraph of Hilchos Gezeila, Ketzad, Kigon Sha'asa Akum Cheshbon V'Ta'a, the Akum is making a Cheshbon, he's giving you back change, and he made a mistake, he gave you back a 20 when he should have given you back a single. You need to say, I'm not even counting the money, I'm just relying that you got that right. You have to say that. Only then it's mutter, the Rambam says. Avlim lo amar lo kein asr. If you don't say that, it's going to be asr. Why? Shema yiskavin ha'akum lebodko v'nimtza shem shemayim mischala. The guy might be testing you. You might be sticking a 20 in there when it should be a single to see if you're gonna correct him. You might be testing your honesty, and if you don't pass that test, it's gonna be a chilul Hashem. So you have to say, look, I'm not even counting it. Right? And what's that based on? It's based on the Gemara, Baba Kama, Kuf Yud Gimel, where Rav Kahana did just that. He said, Beferish, I'm not counting it. Now it happens to be there are other Amoraim in that same Gemara that did not do just that, and that's why we paskin the Ramah paskins at least, that you don't really have to say it. But there is even such a shita in Rishonim that you have to say. And in general, as we pointed out in the past, when it comes to Tolus Hakum, Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes in Hilchos Anos Simin Yeralf, V'chein kol mirma shaba'olam asura b'masu matan afilu l'nachri. Any sort of deception in business is asur even with a nachri. And the famous comment of the Bera Golan, Simin Shin Menches, V'ani kosev zos l'doros, he writes, I'm writing for all generations, Shere isi rabim, Godlu ve'ashiru min tolos shehitu ha'akum. A lot of people made their money off of tolos ha'akum. Ve'lo hitzlichu. Ultimately, they were not successful. Ve'yardu nechseyam l'timayon. And they lost all their money. Ve'lo hinichu achareyam bracha. They left no Yerusha for their families. U'kumosh kazpusif chasidim sim tov tov reishayin dalin. Rabim asher kidshu Hashem. There are many people that on the flip side were mekadei shem shemayim. Ve'chziru tolos ha'akum b'dover chashuv. And they returned the tolos ha'akum even though it was a significant amount of money, gadlu ve'ashiru v'itzlichu, and they were very successful. V'hinichu yisram la'olulehem, and they were able to leave over their extra money for their children. That's the so that's certainly the morality of it. So bottom line, if it's a check, so I thought to cash that check is absolute kazela. So you're not allowed to do that. You're definitely not allowed to cash a check. If it's a gift card, it's already paid for and given to you, you're probably allowed to keep it, even though it might have been the result of an act of gzela. But see if you could do it. Still, the better thing to do is to try to get it back to them in a way that's not going to draw attention to the fact that the Frum store violated this. So the woman actually just texted me today that she sent an email to the company. She had not yet received the gift card. Sent an email, please cancel my rebate. That's all it said. And they got back to her, no problem, rebate is canceled. Like, they didn't ask any questions, they just canceled the rebate. So, I don't know what they were thinking, what kind of crazy woman? Why would she want to cancel the rebate? But they just sent back, rebate is canceled, no need to cause any stir, any chil Hashem or anything. And that way, she didn't benefit from a talus hakum, from a gezel hakum, really. It's not a talus hakum, from a gezel hakum. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.